It was the summer of 2018. Not so long ago really, but, at the same time seems like a lifetime ago. And why not, it was a very different time. It was a time of dreams. A time of hope. A time of magic. The kind of magic that makes a mysterious, bottomless box of movies appear on a front porch, all under the guise of an ice cream company contest giveaway. And what does one do when entrusted with such a magical gift? Start a podcast, of course. And thus was born the Pop-Up Filmcast. Along with a menagerie of friends, Keith and the co-host with the most, Derek, dug deep into that fate-riddled box of films each week, reviewing some of the most amazing cinematic features ever created. Starting October 2nd, they are curating the best of those offerings into Pop-Up Filmcast Reanimated. Sure to be a delight to lifelong listeners and new fans alike. So find Pop-Up Filmcast wherever you do that, and prepare for the return of magic in the world once more.
The Podfix Network.
Yeah, it's recording now.
Great. And then I don't know if you guys do this, but most of the time I forget, but let's go ahead and do a sync clap. Do you guys do that?
We maybe one time. So what what do you want me to do? Just clap?
I'm gonna count 3, 2, 1, and okay. Then after one we're gonna clap at the same time.
After one. Okay, yeah.
After one. Yeah. So don't clap on one, because that'll ruin everything.
Or before, which
Yeah, don't clap on two or one, but clap after, because if we don't get this right, we're probably just gonna turn it off and go about our own way.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's fine. I'll go. I don't know what I'm going to do after that. Actually, I need this. So.
Yeah. So again, not, I don't want to add any worry.
Sure. But the stakes are high.
You need to get this right.
Yeah. Stakes are high.
I mean, this is really probably the sync clap, which won't be heard in the episode, is actually the most important part of the episode.
We could probably just head home after. I mean, technically we're already home, but you know, we could probably call it a day after the clap, probably. I would guess.
I mean, especially if we get it right. Well, really, if we get it right or wrong, this thing's over.
All right, let's do it. I think I'm ready. I think I've
okay
prepared.
So you know when you're gonna clap?
Yes, right after one.
That's correct. 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at the week in history, news, entertainment, and more.
Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. I am not joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders. Instead, we have a special guest. He's a talented comedian and member of the improv trio Walrus. He's also co-host of the entertaining and instructive improv podcast Little Bits and Pieces, which is part of the Podfix Network. Please welcome Jeff Fell.
Hey, so I feel really bad blowing up your spot on the podcast, but it's actually Fella with an A at the end. It's Fell. Fun little story on Facebook, because they don't take Fella as a last name because it is a word. So,
are you serious?
Yeah. It's Jeffrey Fella. Yeah, Jeff is fine. Jeff's okay, but just another weird thing.
I was prepared for you to correct me and tell me that it was Geoff.
Well, I'm glad you were prepared for me to correct you, because you know, I always want that. I don't want to come out swinging, you know. But no, yeah, Fella with an A at the end. Nice, surprisingly German last name. Another little surprise about my name. So I got a lot of tidbits. I prepared a bunch of notes about my name tonight. So I know you want to do your thing about the dates and everything, which is cool. But I'm gonna jump in and just talk about my name quite a bit here. So,
well, first of all, Adam corrects me a lot.
Okay.
So this is perfect. And then, you know, I saw your email address, which is Fella.
Yes.
And yeah. I thought, is Fell correct? and he made a clever Gmail address, because a lot of people just call him Fella because that's an easy modification nickname. Or is his name Fella? And I had to guess between the two, and I've guessed wrongly.
Yeah. I guess it's partially on me. I should have, I kind of set a trap and you fell into it. And, you know, for better or for worse, we all kind of walk away from this wiser than I think we started. And so really, if anything, this is a learning opportunity. And hopefully, if ever our paths cross again, this faux pas will not reoccur. If you could make sure of that, that would be great.
Well, I agree with everything you just said, except for it's 100% on you.
You're saying you disagree. I mean, I said it's partially on. You're saying it's 100% on me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not partially on you. It's complete, like the wisdom stuff and all the other stuff you just said. I agree with that. The part I disagree with is it's not partially on you. It's completely on you.
Right. But we agree that it's a learning opportunity and wisdom and all that good stuff. So by being 100% on me, it's actually I'm like a gift giver, a teacher in this instance. I dispense wisdom, a sage, you could probably say. I would go with the word sage.
Sure. The word sage, as you were rambling just now,
sure,
immediately popped into my mind, the word sage.
Yeah. Wait, you probably, because I said the word sage, unless you're saying it popped in before, in which case I'm glad we're in agreement again. I wanted to come
to
that.
Just right after you said the word sage, I heard the word sage and then it was in my head.
I think that's how language works.
Oh, see, there you're doing it again. You're bringing more to the table.
I set a trap and I educate the ensnared. It's a little something I picked up from a wise old thinker called Socrates. So I'm
what was the phrase you just used? Educator snare?
I educate the snared because I set the trap.
Educate the snared. That is a very niche life purpose.
Well, yes. And
educate the snared.
I don't want to bring it back to Platonic thinkers, but, Socrates, they made him drink the hemlock at the end. So it's niche. And unfortunately, it's a hard life. It's a very hard life. Which is why I don't make it my day job. So,
well, hopefully I got the name of your improv.
Yes, actually, that's funny enough, you did, which no one does. It's usually we get, my favorite is Wallaire's, which is really a stretch. Walruses was another favorite of mine. We got that just a couple days ago. Walrus is the actual name. Walrus, which honestly is fine. That's not too far off. But no, Walrus, you got it right. So extra points for that.
Excellent. I'm trying to earn extra points.
Yeah, I am keeping score. So we'll go over it at the
end. Great. Well, then I'm eagerly awaiting my final score at the end of my own podcast.
Yeah, good, good. I'm glad you hired me as a podcast reviewer, sort of like those guys who go hotel to hotel. I do it with guests on different podcasts and I give reviews at the end. That is my day. So going back to my day job, that is my day job. So I'm just doing
that's odd to be a guest on the show and review the podcast and then give your review at the end.
A lot of people would think it's kind of rude, but when you think about like hotel critics, I mean, they are guests at the hotel. Restaurant critics are guests at the restaurant. So I'm a guest at the podcast and I usually do it for the kickbacks. You sent me all this free gear that I am enjoying. You sent me an entirely new sound studio, which is great. Thank you for that, by the way. But I got to give honest feedback. So the listeners want to know just what's really going on behind the scenes. And I don't know if they're going to like some of the dark facts about this, this podcast about, events in the week.
I'm one of the people that thinks it's rude.
Well, yeah, I usually I'm going to rub some people the wrong way, but it's how you get ahead in the industry. So you got to just head down, charge for it. It's like Muhammad Ali, like he went out there, he's brash, bold, said, I'm the greatest. And then he boxed for a long time. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to box for a long time. So
just compared yourself to one of the greatest athletes of all time. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing that I got kind of prepared for today. So.
Well, we've kind of done this organically, but I'd love to give you just another short bit of time, because what we do with all of our guests is have a little get to know you segment.
Oh, absolutely.
We've already learned a couple of things about you, but why don't we play a very quick round of get to know Jeff Fell?
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm ready. I don't know. I feel like you're going to ask some pretty incriminating questions. I'm
not going to ask any questions. I just want you to tell us about yourself. You're at least partially German. You're in an improv troupe.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got a very confusing last name.
The last name could just be, scenario wise, it could just be German and I'm not, but I am just full disclosure. What are some fun facts about me?
You're a Floridian.
I am. I'm from Florida. I used to live in East Asia, principally China and Taiwan, which is really not like a big deal, but I did it because I wanted to learn Chinese. I always put that out there as one of my fun facts. A lot of people are bilingual. I'm not trying to like take credit away or anything, but just it's something I'm always kind of proud of, because I spent a lot of time and effort doing it. So that's a fun one.
So you do speak Chinese?
I do. I speak Mandarin Chinese. Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
I'm going to say not super well. And for those who are listening, I mean, full disclosure, I'm not ethnically Chinese or anything, which is, I guess, why. But I feel so awkward saying like, oh, it's an impressive thing, because it's like, there are lots of ethnically Chinese people in America that speak English, you know? And so it's a big double standard there. But you know, people are always like, oh, because they don't expect it. So it's a fun
especially
little
especially from a German.
Yes, that is true. German, Italian mostly. Which I try to do a little balance. I, you know, got a handful of pasta, a handful of sauerkraut, and it's just living my best life. Not at the same. I mean, yes, at the same time, but I eat them at separate times, so it's not a big deal. You know,
I didn't mean to react so vocally.
It's, I mean, yeah, you just, that's how you reacted to my ethnic background. I don't, you know, I'm kind of offended, but it's cool. What else? I had a short stint. I used to work for Nintendo retail, but like the Nintendo store in New York. Big shout out to everybody who ever worked there, because it's a tight knit group. But that was a fun time. I am a big video game guy, especially older video games. So if they made it, I at least the hardware, I probably have it. It's a big pastime for me.
That's great. I think that was a successful round of get to know Jeff Fella.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to bring in anything dark or incriminating, you know, any past crimes or anything like that. So I think we kept it light and airy, and we can get to the dark stuff later on.
Perfect. All right. Well, with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week. Today, Jeff, is National Play-Doh Day.
That's today. What does that do for you? The day of recording?
No, the day that this will come out.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. No, I only ask because we had pasta tonight, and so I want to make sure to plan ahead. And so if we need to prepare the proper dishes for Play-Doh Day. Another fun fact about me, which now it seems kind of cold that I didn't bring this up. I have a 6-month-old son, and so he might be down for Play-Doh Day as well. Again, from the sort of, the culinary aspect of the holiday is pretty big, I think.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to eat the Play-Doh.
Yeah, I guess this is just another area where we kind of just disagree, right?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, let's carry on.
Sure.
Tomorrow, National Elephant Appreciation Day.
Yeah, they get enough time. They kind of already have. I don't think we need to give them another day. I think they're good.
All right, let's try again. Tuesday is National Ghost Hunting Day.
Oh, that's like a year-round thing for me. That's sort of like when, you're really into weed culture, and then 420 comes around, and you're like, just another day. This one's gonna be the same deal. I'm just, you know, I mean, will I hunt ghosts? Maybe. But I don't think it's going to be any more or less than usual.
Wednesday is National Punctuation Day. How do you feel about punctuation?
You know, I'm here for it. I probably will be celebrating. Do you celebrate punctuation? Do you celebrate punctuation in general?
I love punctuation, period.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to go with, and I was like, I don't know, and I couldn't find the opening. So you got there. So if it was good support on my end. I opened the door.
And this is the first time we've performed together.
That is true, and hopefully we keep this sort of theme running, so I'll kind of continue to lay the stage, and you can take the punchline.
Swinging at softballs. Thursday is National Lobster Day.
Oh, boy.
This is not a good week for you.
No, it's just I'm more of a crab guy. What is it called? I always want to say carcinogens. I know that that is things that cause cancer. Obviously, that is not lobsters. Yeah, of course. But no, there's this... those are whales. Cetaceans. Anyway, yeah. Whatever I'm trying to think of, we'll just go with crustacean. Not my favorite crustacean. I prefer crabs.
I think you're going to love Friday, Math Storytelling Day. I definitely want you to tell us your favorite math story.
Yeah, so it's funny because I had this saved and I wasn't even aware that Friday was going to be Math Storytelling Day, so it's kind of a bit of a coincidence here. But my favorite story is when I learned simple geometry. It opened up the sort of doors to all of the establishing axiomatic thought that human culture is kind of based on. So sort of a fun little story, I think, about geometry there.
Boy, that is a fun story. I'll tell my own. I'll tell my own geometry story.
Sure.
So, do you remember the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And do you remember the noise that they made with their mouth that sounded like a drop of water?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that movie was out about the time when I was in geometry.
Okay.
And I used to make that noise in class, and it made the teacher crazy. And I ended up out in the hall.
You know, what's so funny about that is it's like the same noise that the girl makes in Heredity, the horror film.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, then this bit's not as funny. But anyone who's seen both of those films is putting that together and they're thinking, oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. But anyway, so no, she kicked you out because you're annoying, not because you are... potentially like a version of Satan reincarnated, I assume. I think that is the plot.
I'm definitely not a version of Satan incarnated.
Okay, but I think that is the plot in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think in the end, he comes out as, in Heredity, it's Paimon. And I think it's the same in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He's like, I'm here for a dark legion of my director's cut, maybe.
Deleted scenes.
Yeah. I mean, if you can find the first print DVD, because they cut it later on, but the first print, it's pretty rare on eBay. I think you can pick it up for like $70.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up this week of celebrations that Jeff's not that excited about with on Saturday with National Scarf Day.
There we go. I've been waiting all year for this one. This is the big
one. Landing.
Yeah, I love in like 100 degree. That's like 34 degree for any of our non-imperial listeners. Weather, throwing on that scarf, going out and pretending that I am flying a biplane. That's my big thing. So Scarf Day is big. It's once a year. I get all my friends' scarves. They say, stop. We don't celebrate this, but I keep doing it. Matt, another improviser on Walrus, a good friend of mine, I think he has something like 30 some odd scarves, which means I've given it every day to him pretty much shortly after I was born. So,
well, I'm not against scarves, but I much prefer a good ascot.
Yeah, I don't think that's until December, if I'm not mistaken. So you got a ways to go. But hey, when the holiday comes up, be sure to, you know, I don't celebrate it. It's not part of like my background or anything, but I will be there. you know, pie in hand or whatever, you know, people eat on Ascot Day. Probably Play-Doh, maybe.
I mean, close. It is a pie, but it's got to be rhubarb.
It's not a pun, is it? I'm trying to Ascot rhubarb.
Nope.
Okay. Okay, well then, sure. Then I'll be bringing your rhubarb pie. Let's do it.
Excellent. All right, Jeff. Well, with that, let's turn our attention to this week in history.
Okay, so this week in history, it's a big week, actually. Some of these are my favorite events in human history. So the first one is actually my favorite event in human history, which is Jim Bowie stabs a Louisiana banker with his famous knife. And that was in 1827. I'm sure a lot of Jim Bowie heads out there are listening to this. Glad to hear he got a shout out. Yes, we are listening. Yes, we are a fan. Well, I think after the 2008 financial crisis, you know, banker, knife, you know, it's kind of a good story, feel good story. 1846, we got planet Neptune was discovered, which I think is kind of a shame because it would only be 100 years later where we found out it was fake. Everyone who knows that Neptune is fake, big shout out to you guys.
Neptune is fake.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Pluto situation, except Pluto is, like, it exists, it's just not a planet. Like, Neptune is just not there.
Neptune doesn't even exist.
They needed nine planets to sell merchandise, and so, yeah, they came up with Neptune to, this is pretty, I feel like this is common knowledge at this point.
Okay, well, as you continue, I'm gonna have to compose myself, but go ahead.
Sure, yeah, and you can, I mean, look it up or whatever, but, yeah, 1957... Here's a big one. Nevada is the site of the first ever underground nuclear explosion. We were doing them above ground for a little bit there. Finally got them underground, which I know is a big win for us, for the U.S., I'm going to assume. 1960, Kennedy and Nixon square off in first televised presidential debate. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, Nixon won by technical knockout in the third round. So that's
right.
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of Nixon. He's one of my favorite heavyweights. And so that was a big one. 1968, first episode of 60 Minutes airs. And if you think about it, adjusted for inflation, that would be 527 minutes today. So that's kind of impressive. It's a big deal.
Also, my personal opinion, kind of a give up name for that show.
Yeah, like, oh, we need a name. It was like Happy Fun Time Interviews, the Squiggly Hour, and then they're like, well, it is an hour. How many minutes are in an hour?
Right.
And then, you know, but again, 527 by today's standards. So we're really actually missing the full 60 minutes when you put it on today. It's a bit of a shame. 1975, President Ford... not the automaker, for those who don't know the difference, survived second assassination attempt. My question is, why was Ford assassinating people? It's kind of weird.
Plus, what a failure.
Yeah, but he survived, which is kind of like, you're the one doing the assassination. I think that's the idea, is you survive, buddy. But I don't know what a president is doing assassinating people. Anyway, although that is kind of cool, I do like the idea that our president like goes undercover and is like, I'm going to get you. But anyway, or maybe not. Actually, you know what? Thinking about it, that is a big claim, is that the president actually does have a lot of people assassinated, isn't it? When I say the president, I mean the general office. I'm not pointing at any particular one.
nobody in particular.
Yeah, just, you know, whoever's utilizing the CIA in that way.
So what you're not doing is just making sweeping and careless accusations.
Correct. I'm being very, okay, very right. careful about what I'm saying here. 1988, Ben Johnson wins gold temporarily. I don't have a bit for this one, so I'm going to go to 1994. Friends debuts on television. I'm pretty sure I watch television and none of my friends are on it, so that sounds like a lie. So then we have 1995, Unabomber Manifesto published. Also, no bit here. Good read. I think you can get it on Amazon. I actually don't know. You might be able to. I've never actually read it. So what?
If you don't mind, when were you going to publish your manifesto?
Oh, it's out there. It's boy, what do I want to go with here? It is Memoirs of a Sad, Sad Little Clown. And you can get it on Amazon. It's only $3, and it goes on sale on Prime Days or whatever. I don't know how that actually
works. $3 for someone's full manifesto, that's a good deal, even if it's terrible.
Oh, that's $1 a page. It's a 3-page manifesto.
Yeah, it's very brief.
Look, I get it all out there and it's done. I mean, you know, manifestos usually aren't... Actually, I take that back. I think manifestos can... It really varies, right? Because I believe the Communist Manifesto is quite terse. Whereas I think the more insane you are, the longer your manifesto gets. So like, you know, like Mein Kampf, right, is actually quite large. And so I think just the crazier you are, the more pages get added.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that, though, because there's probably examples to the contrary. 2012. Oh, this is a big one. Amish convicted in beard cutting attacks. Now, this one, I don't want to do the whole tin foil hat thing, even though we just came off of manifestos. And obviously, I just awakened everybody to the fact that Neptune isn't real. But kind of strange that that was during the second election for Barack Obama. I don't want to say that there's a tie there, but if I remember correctly, everyone's like, oh, Romney's, you know, he's leading the polls, he's going to win. And then this Amish beard cutting attack thing happened. And then it was like, oh, Barrio's coming down hard on the Amish. And then everyone was on board. So I, you know, it's just a little strange. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I know that it sent Reddit into a tailspin with all the conspiracy theories.
Yeah. And I was on a couple. I was actually moderating a few of those subreddits. Some of them have since been quarantined. That was not me. I tried to moderate so that wouldn't happen. But, you know, there's a lot.
If I remember, anybody that was even peripherally involved, you're lucky if you didn't end up with an FBI file after that.
Yes. Those who did not end up with a file are lucky. I do not count myself among them, but those individuals are fortunate. I wish them all the best. And at the end of this show, I might list their names in alphabetical order, just in case everybody else wants to know who got away, the lucky ones. Because we know you're out there.
Along with their phone numbers and email addresses.
Yeah, of course. I want to save that for the doxing section at the end of your podcast. So we can get to that in a second.
You know, that's perfect, because I didn't even tell you we had a doxing section at the end of the podcast, but we do.
I just had a feeling. You started talking and I'm like, I know this guy's going to dox some people.
just the tone of the podcast. It just felt like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, great. Well, Jeff, thank you for that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Now it's time for the news.
Oh, with my favorite jingle.
So, something that we've kind of gotten into a habit of, Jeff, is during our news segment, we have introduced the audience to a new person that they didn't know before.
Okay.
Today, we're going to meet Peggy Jones, age 64, and her husband, who were out doing yard work, just routine yard work, outside their home. And I think maybe Peggy was maybe mowing the lawn or something.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, a stake fell out of the sky and landed on her arm and wrapped itself around her arm.
So back up. We're talking a steak, the meat, like, you know, the
no,
musculature
snake.
Of... Oh, a snake. Oh, I thought you said steak. I was...
Nope, sorry. No, a snake. A snake fell out of the sky onto her arm and wrapped itself around her arm.
Oddly enough, I think steak would have been weirder, but snake now seems plausible just by comparison. But with that said, what kind of snake was it?
Well, it doesn't say, but she was... So obviously she panics and starts shaking her arm to try to get the snake off of her arm. And just as she was doing that, she then got attacked by a hawk.
Oh, Peggy. And I'm guessing Peggy is not one to keep her composure under hawk attacks.
No, at this point, she had completely lost all of her composure.
Sure.
And so she's got the snake wrapped around her arm that's continually striking her, and then the hawk also keeps attacking her, digging its claws into her arm. So of course, what seems to be happening is the hawk is trying to get the snake.
Right, doing what nature intends.
Right. Any good hawk would be going after the snake.
Sure.
So she's fighting off both of them. She's getting attacked by both of them simultaneously. And even to one point where the hawk would grab the snake and was trying to fly away with it, but it's wrapped around her arm.
Right.
And so her arm is being jerked up in the air because the hawk is trying to carry away the snake. And so, of course, she's in a complete panic. She's probably screaming. And finally, on the fourth attempt, the hawk finally frees the snake and flies away with it.
Well, I wouldn't use the verbiage freed the snake. I mean, he's kind of the
freed the snake from Peggy.
Sure, she freed Peggy, I think, is... Well, she, I'm calling that... Yeah, the hawk. The hawk freed Peggy.
After attacking her, of course.
It sounds like a misunderstanding. But, you know, I'm taking the hawk side. I mean, we have three parties here. I don't know what the husband's doing. I guess he's just continuing to mow the lawn. Maybe he has earmuffs on and she's like in the background. You know, it's like a on a television show or something. He's just mowing the lawn. He doesn't hear anything. And she's like flailing and you just see like clips of her in the back. Like as she moves to the left, moves to the right, you know, her arms are...
Right.
Well, there.
Actually, there is a note in the article about that. And when her husband noticed what was going on, so he's across the yard.
Sure.
I don't know how big their yard is. It doesn't indicate. And he's actually on a riding lawnmower.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
So faced with the decision, do I get off the lawnmower and run over to my wife?
No.
Or he actually took option B, which is stay on the riding lawnmower and ride that over to his wife.
Yep. See, that makes a lot of sense, though, because if you're in a car and somebody's in trouble, you're not going to walk. You're already in the car. Drive there, no?
Yeah.
I mean, he's motorized. He's got the power. And I don't know what his lawnmower has feature-wise, but maybe there's some sort of utility on said lawnmower that could help. But again, nature sort of did what it was intended. A hawk took care of Peggy. There's got to be a pagan god out there of hawks that if I were Peggy, I would probably start worshiping. Or she should become a falconer, since it's very clear that that's what she's inclined towards. I mean, she got a hawk on her arm. That's what falconers do, right? So,
absolutely. I did not think of that. I was very preoccupied with the fact that her husband had to make the calculation, can I drive this lawnmower or run faster?
Well, we don't know how
quick... He decided he could not run faster than a riding lawnmower.
Since she's 64, he could, I don't know, have something with his legs. And I got to give it up to him for thinking really quickly, because we don't, I mean, I guess we don't actually know. Maybe he sat there for an hour and deliberated, and like you see him counting on his fingers and he's like, you know, but no, those riding lawnmowers... You know, it would have been funnier if it was a push mower, though. He's like, do I walk over there? Do I get a, you know, and actually, okay, let me rewind a second here. It makes a lot of sense. He stayed on the lawnmower because maybe there was still some grass to mow, and so he got it on the way over there. Now, that's killing, and I apologize for the pun, that's killing two birds with one stone. So I, if anything,
well,
my hat's...
especially... Here's another angle, because if he's got any pride in his lawn at all, and he
sure
likes to mow in a certain pattern, you're not going to interrupt the pattern.
Right. Yeah. Going back to subreddits, he could very well be on our lawn, which I've only recently started perusing just to know what goes on there. And he could be it. There might be a post on there right now that just says, hey, wife got attacked by animals. You know, plural today, but the lawn's looking great. So, you know, kudos to him. He stuck with his principles. In fact, I think everybody except Peggy did what nature intended. The hawk got the snake, supposed to happen. The husband mowed the lawn, which, you know, is written down is how it's just supposed to be. And the snake fell from the sky, which is a lot of people don't know that about snakes because you don't see it happen a lot. But, I like that neither of us discussed or showed any interest in how the snake got there or where the snake came from. I think we both fully accept that the snake came from the sky and it was meant to be, because I think at that point, what are you going to do? Question it? Like, you're never going to get that answer. So you really you kind of just have to live with that fact.
Well, we've talked about the perspective of everyone else involved in the story. I want to take a moment to talk about the snake, because let's just look at what happened to the snake. Now, you're going with the theory that snakes often just randomly fall out of the sky. So that's one option. Another option is he's just slithering around on the ground, doing his snake thing, minding his own business, not bothering anybody. Along comes a hawk and snatches him up. That's obviously a bad turn of events for the snake. And now he's sailing through the air, and he's just wriggling to try to get free of the hawk, which, by the way, hardly ever happens. If you get snatched by a hawk, you're a dead man, or a dead snake in this case. Yeah. So somehow, against the odds, he does break free of the hawk and then goes into a free fall. And he's like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Then he lands on a woman's arm. He's like, well, this isn't what I planned. But then he's like, well, this is what I'm dealing with. So he wraps around the woman's arm and he thinks he's safe. Nope. Here comes the hawk again and starts attacking him. And so he's holding on for dear life, doing everything he can. At the same time, the woman is shaking her arm furiously to get rid of the snake. He's like, no, hey, lady, you're my only chance. But then the hawk ultimately wins and still carries him off and kills and eats him.
Does the article say it killed and ate the snake?
Not explicitly. I'm using artistic license.
Sure, but I mean, we know that that snake has likely escaped from a hawk once. He could do it again.
Well, maybe this time he reasoned with him.
The snake and the hawk had a... It's like an Aesop fable sort of a deal. He reasoned with him.
Yeah. He's like, hey, can go land over there. Can we talk this out? And somehow the hawk's willing to do that. And then he talks him out of it.
But he like rues the decision. And yeah, I've heard this one before. No, I think what happened was the hawk had set like a trap, like Wile E. Coyote style. You know, he had a plank on top of a rock, and the snake, he like laid out snake treats, right? And the snake goes for it, and then he drops a big heavy anvil on it.
Real quickly, can you give us an example of what would constitute a snake treat?
Like some taquitos or something. I don't know what snakes eat. I've never, I don't spend a lot of time in that crowd. It had to have happened cartoon style. I think the hawk had a bib around its neck. It was smacking its lips. The snake went flying. Its eyes, it made like an awooga sound. It goes over to the lady, and it comes in, it swoops in. It still has the bib on, has a fork in one hand and a knife in the other, hand talon in its talons.
Sure.
So I don't know how it grabbed the snake, I guess in its beak in this instance. I think that's how it happened in my mind. That's how I imagine the news. That's how I imagine most news, even like the really serious stuff, the political stuff, the, new scientific discoveries. I always imagine somebody setting a trap to catch another animal, and it fails.
I think that's as likely of a possibility as any.
Yeah.
I think what's important here is that Peggy's okay, even though she had some horrible wounds. She was taken to the emergency room. Somehow, the snake did not puncture her arm with its snake teeth.
Sure.
And because she was wearing glasses, did not get venom in her eyes, the article says.
Wow. So this was a venomous snake?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. That does raise... Because I'm like imagining a... Well, when you said steak, I imagined like a ribeye or something with a little marbling. Right. But then I imagined like it could be just a gardener snake or something like that. But
no, this is like a venomous snake.
Water moccasin or a rattler or something. That's
yeah.
Boy, yeah, Peggy really, okay, Peggy went through it. I'm going to guess that next time she goes into her yard, she'll know to wear her falconer gloves.
Yeah, and those glasses again, because those were a lifesaver.
Well, if she needs those glasses, I assume that she's not like, well, I'm not wearing these anymore. But but no, it's yeah, my hat's off to Peggy, to the husband, pretty much everyone except the snake, who got caught again, so... Sorry, buddy, but it's just not his day.
Well, I think Peggy's a hero. I think you would agree. And here's something we have not done in a long, long time. I'm going to make Peggy our This Week Today Listener of the Week.
I was told ahead of time that that was definitely going to be me and that there was like some sort of gift basket. Am I still going to get the gift basket?
You are going to be the This Week Today listener of next week.
Do I still get the gift basket?
I'll get back to you about the gift basket.
Okay, that's going to color the rest of this our time here, but that's okay. I'm good with that. I anticipate it. But shout out to Peggy.
Well, I apologize to you, Jeff, and to the listener. We do not have time to get to our next story, but I do have a headline.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Kentucky man arrested after shooting his roommate for eating the last Hot Pocket.
So I want to respond to this headline with a headline. This was a couple years ago when I was in college. It was about two brothers that one ended up stabbing the other. I don't think to death, but he stabbed him over a peanut butter and jelly. I guess there was a disagreement over who the sandwich belonged to. It gets heated. I mean, people don't play, you know, imagine you're eating food and someone comes up and just takes your food. You know, food is a serious business. You know, you're having a rhubarb pie or Play-Doh and somebody takes that from you. Like, what's your reaction?
Similar. I mean, a good sandwich is hard to come by. I mean, me personally, if you want to send me into orbit, it's going to be over a grilled cheese. But teach his own.
Is that like with anything else, or is it just the cheese and bread?
No, the creamy tomato soup.
Oh wow, yeah, that sounds good. Although it's harder to steal a soup because you have to have the container and everything. You can't just take a fistful of soup. But the sandwich, you can run and go.
Well, yeah, and if somebody takes the sandwich, the soup is worthless.
Yeah,
who's going to eat just soup?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talk about when it comes to the whole Second Amendment debate. A lot of it revolves around food. It's like how else am I going to protect my sandwich? You know. And that's the one time that it really caught off guard. I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't think about it. You know, I'm having a grilled cheese and then someone comes up and steals it. And I need to take action immediately. So it's pretty much the only way. Dairy Queen, I'll be in a Dairy Queen and I'm having a sandwich and somebody, or not a sandwich, sorry, Dairy Queen, I'm having ice cream. Somebody grabs my ice cream and the first thing in my mind is I wish I had some sort of weapon. You know, it doesn't have to be a firearm. It could be a sword. You know, I'd settle for like mace, bear spray would be good, but you got to protect your food.
Well, you're not wrong, because it has reframed the Second Amendment issue for a lot of hardliners.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate. I know there's been a big shift in Congress over this whole issue. I don't know how it wasn't being talked about originally. It says it right in the amendment itself. Whatever militia, my knowledge of the Constitution is ironclad. Well-formed militia to protect a damn good sandwich. And I think it's what it says. If it said something else, you know, maybe, but it says a sandwich, and if I'm eating a sandwich, you know, I need to be strapped. Otherwise, I just can't. I'm always looking over my shoulder, you know. So, it's the only way.
If you want to bring people together during these divided times, it's over protecting sandwiches.
I think it is the one thing Americans can all agree is
even still,
Yeah, even still, is you got to protect a good grilled cheese is rare. So,
amen. All right, Jeff. Hopefully you've got birthdays for us.
I do. I have some celebrity birthdays for everybody. I just want to say, up to this point, what a pleasure it's been to bring the country together. Hopefully these birthdays won't be divisive at all. So big shout out to Patrick Mahomes. Yes, Jeffrey Fella, your old pal Jeffrey Fella, is on the podcast. I know that you're excited to hear my voice again. It's been a long time, but if you do hear this, just know I'm thinking about you all the time, and it's great that you're out there celebrating your 28th birthday. I'm terrible with celebrity names. Alex
Ovechkin.
Yeah, I don't know how you guessed that, but yes, it's Alex Ovechkin from my
hockey player. He's one of the best active hockey players in the game right now.
Ah, my brother is going to kill me. yes, so I don't have a bit for you, but happy 37th birthday. Flo Rida. Obviously there's an easy bit here. He's 44. We'll make the joke. Florida is only 44 years old. Oh, who would have thought? I thought it was older than that. It's actually one of the oldest colonies in the United States. So 44? I think not. Somebody is lying about their age. Jason Sudeikis, 48. And I want to skip down. We also have Bill Murray at 73. So we got some comedians here. Oh, I don't know why I skipped Jimmy Fallon as well as on this list. Hold on. Okay, let me go back. Jason Sudeikis, 48. Jimmy Fallon, 49. James Marsden's not a comedian, but he can be in comically oriented films, but he's more famously in the Sonic film. So I actually want to, you know, I should have more to say about Jason Sudeikis and Jimmy Fallon. They're funny. It's great. But I want to linger more on James Marsden just because, you know, thank you for your work in the Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2. That was really fantastic watching you. And it changed my perspectives on a lot of things, not just, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog as a video game franchise, but, you know, just like life. And again, going back to healing the nation, I think a guy playing a police officer that teams up with a anthropomorphic rodent is, you know, and it's been done. It's been done. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Ratatouille.
Yep. Also, a lot of people don't know that, but he's a cop. Not the guy, Remy the rat is a cop. Because being a chef, just it doesn't pay like it used to. So, yeah. And James Marsden and Sonic the Hedgehog. So those are the three big ones. And I'm glad to see that the trilogy kind of has some closure with that. Luke Wilson. So, okay, we are kind of back to, I mean, a comedically minded, I guess. Wait, no. Who am I thinking of? Yeah, no, that's right, right?
Yeah, brother of Owen Wilson.
Yeah, okay. I am thinking Owen Wilson. Is Luke Wilson in Bottle Rockets?
Bottle Rocket.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Lance Armstrong, only 52. Boy, he's one of my favorite jazz musicians. He's been around forever. Somebody's lying about their age. And then we'll go to Joan Jett, who's 65. You're going to have to help me because I'm not familiar here.
Famous singer.
Okay, good.
Mostly in the 80s. Huge in the 80s.
Anyway, Bill Murray, 73, another comedian. Bruce Springsteen, 74, kind of playing again with the Bringing Back America theme, which I'm starting to sense a little bit of a theme in this episode. This is kind of the Bringing Healing America episode. So kudos to you for putting this together. And Sophia Loren at 89, who's the oldest person I have on this list. So I think if you're born on this day, empirically speaking, 89 is as old as you get to be. So not the best birthday, but not the worst.
Do you know who Sophia Loren is?
I don't do this to me. Yes, I do. I know you're going to say it and be like, oh, right. Right, of course. Was she in the Sonic the Hedgehog films?
Yep.
There it is. She played Sonic himself.
Just wanted to tie it all together for you.
Oh, okay. Please tell me, because it's somebody I should know.
No, sorry, Jeff. We don't have time for this. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, sorry. Listeners, text her identity to GEOFF, and you might be one of our lucky winners. We'll see what we get.
What are they going to win?
The gift basket I'm supposed to get next week. So if you leave me high and dry, then it's really on your listeners. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
All right. How about some born this week, but now dead?
And thank you, Clay Groves. Jeff, I have three people that were born on this day, but are now dead.
That's it?
That's the only three we have time for.
Oh, you don't mean historically speaking.
Yes, these are the only three people that were born on this day but are currently dead.
Wow, what are the
speaking
odds?
Of comedy, we're going to kick things off with John Ritter, who died at a relatively young age. He died in 2003 at the age of 54. Today he would be 74. Then we have Ray Charles. Jeff, do you know who that is?
Yes. Of course, I know the person who doubled as Sonic the Hedgehog's voice in the films. Obviously.
He died in 2004 at the age of 73. Today he would be 93. And Mickey Rooney died in 2014 at the age of 93. Today he would be 103.
I just want to go out on a limb here and say there's kind of like a curse around that Sonic movie with all these actors, you know, having passed. Well, not act. I mean, you know, just we'll say individuals. Historical. I said actors, but I guess they're not all actors. Historic.
Performers, entertainers.
Yeah. Well, just. Well, no, they were actors because they were all in the Sonic the Hedgehog film. I guess that's why I said actors.
And Jeff, that brings us to the end of another episode of This Week Today.
She's an actress, right? Sophia Loren? I know she's an actress.
I'm sorry, Jeff. We don't have time for this. The show is ending.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got to be a part of this. And I'm glad that, you know, I guess it's probably smart of you to skip the doxing section. And I'm going to put it up on my own webpage anyway. So it really is.
Yeah, no. We'll put it in the liner in the notes. In the
notes. Cool. Okay, well, yeah, I'm glad I got to learn about some history and some current events.
Before we go, did you want to tell people anything about your show and where they can find it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys are interested in comedy or just want a good laugh, you can check out Little Bits and Pieces by Walrus, and it's pretty much anywhere you get podcasts, unless, you know, you're getting your podcast bootlegged out of the trunk of, you know, somebody's Volkswagen on Riverside in New York City. In which case we are there, but only on Thursdays. Otherwise, it's a really good time. It's Walrus, which is an improv troupe. Myself, Matthew Walker, and Christian Torres. And they're all really funny guys. We sort of take a slightly, I don't want to say meta because I think that's overplayed, but it is a little bit fourth wall breaking approach to improv. And I think that comes out in the podcast. But we also talk about a lot of other stuff. There are some episodes about Sonic the Hedgehog. So there's a running theme there. And if you guys are interested at all, just check it out. Give us a listen. And yeah, be sure to follow us for more.
Well, I think you're a really funny guy. And I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much. I think this is great. I think you're a lot of fun to do a podcast with. And I think that you just make the best gift baskets. And I really can't wait. So
you're not speaking from experience. It's more hopefully. You hope to experience my gift basket.
I mean, like hope for, anticipate, because it's like I'm absolutely certain and it would just crush me if I didn't get it. So but yeah, I mean, it's six of one, half a dozen of another.
All right, some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching at This Week Pod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 818-308-4348. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the Podfix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at Podfix on Twitter. Thank you to our friend Phil Root for a custom logo. For my pal Jeff Fella, I'm your co-host Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
Thanks for tuning in, and hopefully we hear you again. Well, hopefully you hear us again. You know what I'm trying to say.
This Week Today is a proud member of the Podfix Network.